Morning, Hope Church.
How are we doing today? Good, good. Everybody have a good Christmas? Good holiday? Yeah? A rocking New Year's Eve? Right? Yeah, right. Not a big day on our calendar, I can tell you that right now. But here's a question for you. Here is a big day on my calendar. Does anyone know what December 21 was? December 21, anyone? First day of winter, right? On December 21st, winter officially began. Now, that's not something to cheer about, right? At least not for me. I mean, you guys know me. I, like Jim, am a warm weather guy. I like the shorts and t-shirts. But why would this be a good thing? Ah, the days are getting longer. My wife knows me. An astrological phenomenon occurs on December 21st, and that is, anyone? The winter solstice, right? That is the shortest day of the year, the day with the least hours of sunlight. And now moving forward, the days get longer. And we start looking forward to, at least I do, believe it or not, I start looking forward to spring already. I know, I'm just, for these 3 months, I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to make it through this winter. I look forward to spring because I enjoy warm weather. Anyone kind of feel that way about the year 2020? You just kind of wanted to exist through it. You just kind of wanted to get through it. It was a pretty frustrating year for sure. I'm pretty sure that very few people will look back on 2020 fondly. A lot of people experienced anxiety, even depression. And I find it very interesting that there are some entrepreneurs out there that have tried to capitalize on this. So I was watching the news the other day, which I try not to do too much of, because that will depress you. And they were talking about this bakery that's making smash cakes. Smash cakes. Have you heard of this? Apparently, they will make a cake for you with the idea that you take it home and you smash it with a hammer. It's true. It's true. I'm not making this stuff up. And they will decorate it with something that you would want to smash. Like maybe, you know, your job or your boss or a politician, right? Or for some of you, maybe your spouse. I don't know. I hope not. But the best-selling cake right now, anybody guess what it is? COVID would be a good one, but it's the 2020 cake. The 2020 cake. People are buying these things, they're taking them home, and they're smashing them in an effort to vent their frustration. Now, not to be outdone, there's someone else that has come up with a telephone number that you can call. It's called the Scream Line. It's a real thing. I can't make this stuff up. Apparently, you call this number, and I'm sure there's a nominal fee involved, right? But you call this number, and all you do is you scream. You scream. And then you hang up. And this is supposed to relieve stress and anxiety. I cannot make this up. I can't make this up. People are doing this out of frustration with this past year. And I understand some of this to a certain degree. Because there were times this past year that I wasn't in the best of ways. When this pandemic thing began, this lockdown, we had to shut down Sunday services along with our other ministries. And then the scramble began to figure out how to stream a service. How do we keep sharing the gospel? How do we remain relevant? It was overwhelming, to be honest with you. Trying to cobble together technology to stream a service. Preaching to an empty church. No fellowship. No potlucks. That's got to be the worst thing of all, right? We couldn't get together. We couldn't do the things that we love to do. And I will admit, I did not do too well with that situation. At times, I probably wasn't the most pleasant person to live with. Ask my wife. She will share that with you. Gladly, I'm sure. So what about you? Were there times this past year that you felt like that? It seemed like things just weren't going well. Your life wasn't going the way you wanted or the way you thought it should. Maybe you had to deal with a job loss or some other collateral damage from this pandemic and this lockdown. Maybe you even came down with this wretched virus or had some other health issue. Or you just felt like this was never gonna end. And you didn't like it one bit. So let's forget about 2020. Let's just erase 2020. Forget about it altogether. Anyone feel like forgetting about 2020? If I had to bet, I would say that most of the world probably would like to forget 2020. But before we decide to just forget a part of our past, let's ask a couple of questions. Should we forget? Could we forget? How can we forget? Well, this morning, with this new year upon us, what I want us to do is consider this idea of forgetting about the past. In light of our current circumstances, it seems like a good idea, but is it? Well, to answer this question, let's look to the ultimate authority for our lives, and that is the Word of God. Because God's Word has quite a bit to say about forgetting the past. Now, we're going to be looking at the book of prophecy written by Isaiah. And I realize that it's hard to imagine that something written like 2,700 years ago can speak to our situation today, but that's part of the beauty and the mystery of the Bible, right? It transcends time. What Isaiah had to say to the nation of Israel can instruct us today as well. So as a little bit of background, Isaiah, and I love the book of Isaiah, by the way. It is the most quoted book in the New Testament, the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah prophesied somewhere in the years, I had it written down here, somewhere 740 BC to about 680 BC. And much of his writings were very much forward-looking. What he did is he described the future, and he prophesied about events that were going to happen. We know that Isaiah prophesied extensively about the Messiah. We looked at that in our series last month as we led up to Christmas. And what Isaiah was doing is he was giving people glimpses into the future. And in Isaiah chapter 43, what we see are some glimpses into the future that were probably troubling for the nation of Israel. See, chapters 40 and following prophesied about the coming exile in Babylon. So he was telling the people of his time that there was an exile coming. They were going to be in captivity. Now, for those who actually lived during the exile, which was in a future time, these were dark times, for sure. They were in captivity. They were living in a foreign land. They'd lost everything. And they were homesick for this land of blessing that God had led them to previously. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to look at we're going to start at verse 14, because 14 and 15 kind of set the stage for the rest of the passage. So beginning at chapter 43, verse 14. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. Now, I want us to understand that, again, Isaiah wrote this before it actually happened, before the Babylonians actually took them into captivity. The Babylonians, at the time, were just an up-and-coming world power. Before they would take Israel into exile, Babylon would become this world-dominating superpower. Yet Isaiah prophesies not just about the coming exile. Yes, he's talking about them taking them into exile. But he also goes beyond the exile and tells them about the eventual judgment that Babylon would experience for what they would do to God's people. But here's this very powerful nation that has Israel captive. And the question really becomes, how can God's people be sure that he's up to rescuing them in this situation? Well, Isaiah gives us the answer in verse 16. He says, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. So Isaiah begins verse 16 here with, this is what the Lord says. But he actually doesn't get to what the Lord says until verse 18. So in verses 16 and 17, what Isaiah is doing is he's essentially describing the nature of God, basically retelling what God had done in the past. When we read those verses, what does it remind us of? What does it sound like? Sounds like the Exodus, right? Sounds like the Exodus. When God led them out of slavery in Egypt, he parted the Red Sea, right? He led them across on dry land. And when Pharaoh's army tried to cross, what happened? Waters closed in, right? And they lie there, never to rise again, extinguished. That's exactly what Isaiah is talking about. So Isaiah is saying here, remember. Right? Remember what God has done for you in the past. And this is the point that Isaiah is trying to make. There's no question about that. But there's an issue that I have with the NIV version here. Because the NIV translation has these verbs in the past tense. In the past tense. He made a way. He drew out the chariots. Past tense. Almost every other translation has these verbs in the present tense. In other words, he makes a way. He draws out the chariots. It's a subtle difference. It's a subtle difference. But understand the complete point that Isaiah is making here. Yes, remember what God has done for you in the past. But the present tense verbs make it clear that these amazing works are repeatable. They are repeatable. The nation of Israel could have every confidence that God could do it again. He defeated the armies of Egypt, and he can do the same to the Babylonians. Anything that we can learn from this today? Absolutely, right? Just as the nation of Israel could trust God completely in their present time, we too can trust God by remembering the great things that he's done for us in the past. We can trust God implicitly, no matter the trials we face. No matter the trials we face, even a global pandemic. So let's move on and let's see what the Creator, the Holy One, the Lord of all has to say. And this is God speaking now in verse 18. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. The English Standard Version says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now hold on. Wait a minute. I'm confused, right? I mean, we've just been told to remember in verses 16 and 17. And quite honestly, the Old Testament is filled with commands to remember. Throughout the book of Isaiah, we're told to remember. In chapter 44, it says, remember these things, O Jacob and Israel. And in chapter 46, and this is God speaking here, he's saying, remember the former things of old. Deuteronomy says, you shall remember. Deuteronomy 6, take care lest you forget. And now God is telling us to forget the former things? Does that make sense? Not really. Unless you think of it in terms of what I will call selective remembrance. Selective remembrance. It's like men are very often accused of unintentionally, and I emphasize unintentionally, right? Selective hearing, right? Men can be known to hear only selected portions of what we're told. Right, guys? It's true. Well, what God is commanding here is selective remembrance, being intentional about what it is we remember, and of course the nation of Israel as well. And in this very interesting shift that we see from verses 16 and 17 telling us to remember to verse 18 in which God tells us to remember not, it's an interesting shift. What it does is it informs us that there is a sense in which we must remember the past in terms of God's great work on our behalf. But there's also a sense in which we must forget the past with all of its discouragement and defeat. And I know that we've all experienced quite a bit of both in our lives. I have. I'm quite sure that most of you have as well. Certainly, the nation of Israel had seen God's provision in the past, right? The Old Testament is filled with stories of how God protected and cared for his people. We've said this before, much of the Old Testament was written so that they would remember, right? And not forget. But we also see instances where the Israelites failed God miserably. It seems like every time God blessed them, they turned their back on him. You know, God gave them the temple. What did the nation of Israel do? They worshiped idols. God gave them the truth. The nation of Israel lived a lie. God gave them the commandments. They lived as if those were kind of like suggestions. God gave them wealth. They used it to abuse the poor. God gave them himself. And they gave him nothing but rejection. The nation of Israel, friends, did nothing to deserve God's blessing, but he loved them anyway. Are we really any different? Are we really any better than the Israelites? Not really. But what God is telling us here is don't dwell on your past failures. Forget that past. Our God, friends, is a merciful and loving God, and he is willing to forgive those who turn to him. In Isaiah chapter 44, God, again speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says, remember these things. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And what God is saying is, focus on that. Remember my goodness and my mercy and my grace to those who turn to me, those who repent. Forget your past failures. Forget your defeats. Because, as God goes on to say in Isaiah 43, picking it up at verse 18 there, he says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. God is telling the nation of Israel that he has a plan for them, right? He's doing a new thing. And they're presented with a choice. Either dwell on your past failures and become stagnated by your current state, right? They were in exile, they were in captivity, or choose to concentrate on what God wanted to do in their lives. Past experience should have told them that God is able to deliver them. He'd done it in the past. What would make them think that he wouldn't do it moving into the future? And friends, we are presented with that same choice. Dwell on our past failures and our sin, our mistakes, or look forward to the perfect plan that God has mapped out for each and every one of us. And he has a plan, a perfect plan. It's springing up. Do you not perceive it? He's making a way for you in your challenges. And this word here, translated perceive, it's an interesting Hebrew word, yada, which means literally to know by seeing, to understand, to acknowledge, to be aware of by observation. So what do you see when you look at your life? Do you see problems or possibilities? Friends, God wants to do a new work in your life. He's making a way in your wilderness. He is creating streams of blessings for you in your wasteland. God wants to bless us. Why? Why does God want to bless us? Well, he tells us right at the end of verse 20 and moving into verse 21, we are his chosen. He loves us. We are the people that he formed. He is our creator. He is the God of the cosmos, and he has chosen us, and he has set us apart, and he loves us. Isn't that amazing? That the God of creation loves you and loves me. We are the people that he formed. We are created that we might proclaim his praise, right? That is the ultimate reason for our existence. Isaiah 43:7 tells us that we were created for his glory. Friends, God wants to deliver his people. We saw that in the Egyptian Exodus, right? When he led them out of slavery. We see it in this prophecy of the deliverance from the Babylonian exile, which did happen, by the way. Isaiah prophesied this. It did happen. Israel was let go after 70 years in captivity. But here again, and I want us to understand that what we see are multiple levels of prophecy. We talked about this a little bit last month when we looked at some of the other prophecies from Isaiah. There are multiple levels of prophecy here. See, this prophecy not only pointed to the rescue from the Babylonians, but it gives us a glimpse into the ultimate delivery. That, of course, being brought by Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one that we celebrated just a few weeks ago. Prophecy partially fulfilled at his first coming some 2,000 years ago, completely fulfilled when Jesus comes again someday to rescue us from sin and death and take us home to be with him for all eternity. That's the ultimate prophecy here. God's delivery, his ultimate plan of redemption for a lost world, his ultimate plan for you and for me. So what do we do in the meantime? How do we live in the here and now as we anxiously look forward to the second coming of Christ, this fulfillment of prophecy that we're talking about here? Well, in the here and now, I'd like to offer up three things that we can do to help us live into God's plan for our lives. The first thing is this: refocus. The first thing that we have to do is refocus. And there's really two aspects to this refocusing. And the first aspect of refocusing is getting the attention off of ourselves. You know, as humans, we have this inflated sense of our own importance, right? We think that the world revolves around us. It revolves around what we want. It revolves around our plans, right? Newsflash, it doesn't. It doesn't. This life is not about us, friends. This is God's story. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. The narrative of the Bible, which describes the universe from the very creation to the absolute end of time, it's all God's story. We are merely participants in that story. Genesis 1:1 sets the story in motion. It says, "In the beginning, God." This is His story. It's all about God. It's His plan of redemption for a sinful people. We are His creation, created for a purpose. There's another aspect to this refocusing, and that requires us to start looking forward instead of dwelling on our past failures. It's like driving a car. If you try to drive a car while focused on the rearview mirror, you can't see where you're going. And you'll never get to where you're supposed to be. And you very well may have an accident while trying to drive, constantly looking back. When driving, your focus should be on what's ahead. Occasionally, if you remember from Driver's Ed, which was many years ago for some of us, you occasionally glance in the rearview mirror. You occasionally look back. Because objects may appear closer than they really are. But seriously, life is very much the same. We will never fully experience the new thing that God has planned for us if we focus on the past. So we need to refocus on what's ahead. And secondly, we need to remember. Remember. But we use what I have referred to as selective remembrance, right? Selective remembrance. It's like driving the car again. We occasionally glance back in the rearview mirror, but we do that in order to see God's goodness in our lives while remembering not our failures and sin and disappointment of the past. Remember God's goodness and forget about our setbacks and our downfalls. Selective remembrance. So we refocus on what's ahead. We remember using that selective remembrance. And the last thing we need to do is we need to recommit. We need to recommit to God's plan for our lives. Friends, God has a specific plan for each and every one of us. And again, it is a perfect plan for you, one that meets your needs, every need, even if you don't understand it. God has orchestrated the events of history to bring you to this point in time. You realize that? Everything God has done up to this point has brought you to where you are today, and this is no mistake. It's no mistake that we're all here right now today. God has orchestrated the events to bring you here. God wants to see you move forward because He has something new in store for us. It's springing up. Don't you perceive it? Even if you can't see it. Remember, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that we walk by faith, not by sight. God is making the way for us. He's doing a new thing. And we want to recommit to His plan. So do we just forget about 2020? Do we just erase it from our memories? Forget about it? It never happened? I don't think so. God has taught us some valuable lessons this past year. I'm convinced of that. One of them is reliance on Him, for sure. That's the only way that we get through this stuff, is we rely on Him. But we should refocus, remember, and recommit. God has a plan. And yes, yes, friends, that plan will include some challenges. There's no guarantee that 2021 is going to be better than 2022. We look forward to that, but we don't know that. There will be challenges. This pandemic is going to be with us for a while. Maybe there's something else that's coming for you. Maybe there's a job loss coming. Maybe a loss of a loved one. Maybe a health issue. Maybe there's more civil unrest. Maybe there's more political upheaval. Can you imagine more? See, nowhere in the Bible does it guarantee that when you put your faith in Christ, suddenly everything becomes easy, right? Everything is rosy, your problems disappear. It doesn't say that. On the contrary, in John 16, Jesus Himself tells us that in this world we will have trouble. But He also tells us to take heart because He has overcome the world. Refocus, remember, and recommit. Is it going to be easy? Not really. Is it going to be worth it? Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. Paul talks about this in Corinthians chapter 5 in his second letter to the Corinthians. He talks about this longing for our eternal home, right? Looking forward to that second coming of Christ. In verse 4, he writes, "For we... while we are in this tent," in other words, while we're in this body, while we're in this world, "we groan and we are burdened." See, nobody said that this life was going to be easy, but he goes on to remind us that God has fashioned us for this very purpose. The purpose? To bring glory to Him by sharing the gospel with the world. Sounds like our mission here at Hope Church, doesn't it? That is our mission here at Hope Church. Let's refocus, remember, and recommit to that mission in the coming year. Because if we do that, we will see God do a new thing in each one of our lives and in the life of Hope Church. Friends, 2021 is going to be a good year. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to You, and Lord, we just lift up our praise to You. We glorify You because that is our purpose. We glorify You because we know that You are doing a new thing, that You have a plan for each one of our lives. You have a plan for Hope Church, a plan to glorify You by sharing the gospel with Lowell and the surrounding area. Lord, we just pray that Your hand of blessing would be upon us. As we do that, we thank You for the work of the cross and the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.